Hey there, I'm Sam, and we're talking about David Eagleman's The Brain today. Sophie, I have to start with a big one. Did this book freak you out as much as it freaked me out?
Hi there, Sam. Yes, absolutely. It's a complete dismantling of the way we think about ourselves. Eagleman's central idea is that the conscious you, the voice in your head, is not the CEO of your brain. It's more like a press secretary who shows up after the real decisions have already been made.
Right, the press secretary. That image really stuck with me. So your brain does all this complicated stuff, and then consciousness just spins a story to make sense of it.
Exactly. And the book starts with a wild example. There's a schoolteacher who suddenly develops an uncontrollable obsession with child pornography. Turns out he has a brain tumor pressing on his orbitofrontal cortex. They remove the tumor, and the obsession vanishes.
Yeah. That case is terrifying and fascinating. Was that guy guilty? He committed a crime, but his brain wasn't functioning normally. Eagleman doesn't give easy answers, but he argues we need a legal system focused on rehabilitation, not just retribution.
And that ties into another huge idea, neuroplasticity. Your brain is constantly rewriting itself. Every experience leaves a physical trace, changing connections between neurons. If you play violin for hours, the areas controlling your fingers literally grow larger.
It's a battle for real estate, he says. Use it or lose it. And if you lose your sight, the visual cortex gets repurposed for touch and hearing. That's incredible.
It really is. And here's where it gets really trippy. Your reality is a construction. Eagleman says your senses are filters, not windows. You only detect a tiny sliver of the electromagnetic spectrum. Your brain takes that limited data and fills in the rest with educated guesses.
So what you see is actually a controlled hallucination. That's his phrase. He uses the blind spot as an example. There's a hole in your retina where the optic nerve exits, but you never notice because your brain paints over it with information from the surrounding scene.
Right.
You're not seeing the world. You're seeing a model of the world that's good enough to keep you alive. And that delay leads to questions about free will. If you touch a hot stove, you pull your hand away before you feel the pain. The reflex happens faster than conscious thought.
So consciousness is the last to know. It's like a passenger on a train, not the engineer. It can veto actions, but it rarely starts them.
Exactly.
And then there's the social brain. Eagleman talks about mirror neurons, which fire both when you do something and when you watch someone else do it. That's the biological basis of empathy. You literally simulate other people's experiences in your own brain.
That explains so much about how we connect. And it ties into the idea that we're a superorganism. Our brains are nodes in a larger network of shared information.
Yeah, and another key function is prediction. Your brain is constantly generating hypotheses about what will happen next. That's how you catch a ball or understand a sentence. When your prediction is right, everything feels smooth. When it's wrong, you get surprised.
So learning is really about minimizing prediction error, building better internal models of the world. A baby is born with almost no predictions, and over time they build a model of gravity, language, everything.
Right.
And memory plays into that too. Eagleman says memory isn't a video recorder. It's a reconstructive process. Every time you remember something, you reassemble it from fragments. That's why it's fallible, but it's also flexible. Imagination is just memory in reverse.
That's beautiful, actually. The same machinery that lets you remember the past lets you simulate the future. We're time travelers.
Exactly. And Eagleman ends by looking ahead. We're entering an era where we can interface directly with our brains. Cochlear implants, deep brain stimulation, artificial retinas. The brain is flexible about what it considers its body. It can incorporate tools.
So we're not limited by our biology. We can upgrade our perception, augment our memory. The human experience is a platform.
And his overall message isn't cold or reductionist. It's a call to wonder. Understanding that you're a biological machine made of stardust doesn't diminish the miracle of being alive. It elevates it. The feeling of love, the awe of a sunset, the pain of loss, these are the most real things we know, and they come from the most complex object in the universe.
Yeah, I think the takeaway for me is that we are a process, not a thing. We're a story our brain is telling itself, and we get to be both the author and the audience.
That's a perfect way to put it. And honestly, if you want to go deeper into this, the whole library is over at 7minutebooks.com/app. They have over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language, and it starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access.
We are the story our brain tells itself. That's the one I'm walking away with.
And what a story it is. We'll see you in the next one.